And we're holding on to Samach Ches Amud Aleph, the third line. The Mishnah describes, so again, the whole parak is dealing with cases where a person sells a certain thing, a certain type of real estate, and the question is what exactly is and isn't included in that. So we said you sell a house, you sell a chotzer, etc. So our Mishnah had said that if you sell a bathhouse, so there's a number of things that are not included because they're metalplin. Then the Braisa had said that if you say I'm selling a bathhouse and everything in it, then those metalplin are included, but then there are things that are not included, namely the reservoirs of water and the store of wood, because both of those things, the water and the wood, are equally well usable for other things besides for the bathhouse, and therefore you can't say necessarily that he meant to sell those as well, any more so than, for example, when a person sells a house, that he would sell the food in the house, let's say. However, then we said, if he says that I'm selling you the Beis HaMelechitz for Chol Tashmishav and all the things that are needed, that are used for it, then it includes even the water and the wood, because the fact is, you need water and wood in order to run a bathhouse. So, the Gemara tells in this connection, so there was a person who sold a bathhouse to somebody else and used that expression, that I'm selling you in this case, actually, it wasn't a bathhouse. He said, I'm based on bad. So here he said, I'm selling you an olive press and all tashmishav. So previously we learned that an olive press has various things. You have things that are fixed in the ground and those are sold with it. You have things that are movable or not, etc. In this case, outside the bathhouse, outside the olive press, there were stores, mainly those stores would be places where they sold bread and wine and things like that. Hanus in Gemara terminology doesn't mean necessarily like a grocery store like we have nowadays. Hanus in Gemara terminology many times means something like a restaurant or something like that. Whatever the case, he sold bread and wine there mainly. But also, so those have nothing to do with the olive press. But to have a shot for Bahu Shumshumi, they also use these stores to spread out sesame seeds for drying. Where afterwards, once the sesame seeds were dried out, then they would bring them to the press and they would press them. Because in a press, you're not just pressing olives, you can press other things for oil as well, including sesame. So now the question is that enough to make that those stores are part of Kol Tashmishav of the olive press? Also, a Kameh Rabbi Yosef, so he came to Rabbi Yosef, they had an argument between them, the buyer and the seller, whether those stores are included. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef says, Tanena, well, we learned in a Braisa. Im Oma Beis HaMelchotz V'chot HaShmishav Ani Moicholach, if he says, then I'm selling you a bathhouse and all of its tashmishim, how they call them mechorim, and they're all sold. So the same thing over here. Then if you're saying I'm selling a Beis Abad, an olive press, and kol tashmishav, then yes, it's going to include the stores, because the fact is, yes, they're mainly used for another purpose, but they do, you can say the same thing about wood and water for a bathhouse. They're mainly used for other purposes, but the fact is they are used for the bathhouse as well. Omale Abayas, Abayas is not so simple. Hatoni Reb Chiya, Ein Kolam Mechorin. Doesn't Reb Chiya teach a Braisa that says that they're not all sold, even if he says V'chol Tashmishav? Elo, Amar Ravashi Chazina. So Ravashi says, you know what, we have to look at the situation. What did he actually say? E Omale Beis Habad V'chol Tashmishav V'ilein Matzra Noho. If he said, I'm selling you the Beis Habad, the olive, the press, the house where the press, the building where the press is located, and all Tashmishav, and he added the words, the Ilein Matsrenoha, and these are its boundaries, and he mentioned the boundaries, and those include the area where those stores are, then Koni, then he's Koni them, the Eloi, Lo Koni, and if not, then he's not. So Rashbam explains like this. And first of all, the halacha Rashbam points out would be like Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi is Basra. We have a general rule after the time of Abaye and Rava that if a later Amora says something against the earlier ones, then the halacha is like him. So even though Abaye is objecting to what Rav Yosef is saying, even though Rav Yosef is saying a blanket statement, they're always sold, and Abaye is questioning that, we go according to Rav Ashi because he's the one who, he's later on, and he says sometimes one, sometimes the other. So Rashbam explains like this. If you weren't to say b'chol tashmishav, if he only said even matzra naha, then it would be. Now, earlier in the parak, we had a concept called mitzorim hirchivloi, which is that sometimes, imagine, for example, let's say that earlier in the parak, it talked about, for example, that you're selling one particular building in an apartment, in one particular house, one particular apartment in an apartment building, or one particular house in an apartment complex, or whatever. Even if you mention mitzorim achitzonim, so you mention, for example, the outer boundaries of the entire building, doesn't mean you sold the entire building. It's called mitzorim hushehirchitloi. It means that he gave the wider boundaries because it was difficult to market based on the narrower boundaries. Let's say another example, Gemara said, was as far as fields, where you might say, for example, the field that's located in this valley, and the boundaries of that valley are such and such, doesn't mean he sold them the entire valley. Just means that he sold them a particular field in there, and just he had no easier way than to mark the borders than to give the entire broad borders. So if he had not used the words v'chol tashmishav, then the stores would not be included, and nor would the reservoirs of wood or of water. Because mitzarim hirchavoy, when he says v'chol tashmishav, plus he adds the boundaries. And the fact is, these stores where they sell bread and wine and are also used for spreading out sesame seeds are also within the border, Then, since they are, after all, used for the Beis Chabad, and he said b'chol tashmishav, and he mentioned the boundaries, then therefore they are included. So that's the Rashbam's first explanation. Then the Rashbam brings another lashon that the other way around, a different gusa that says on the contrary, Rav Ashi says if he were to say b'chol tashmishav and mention the boundaries, then he wouldn't acquire those stores because then the ve'elu matzra naha, these are the boundaries, wouldn't refer to the stores. They would refer only to the Beis Chabad, and we would say mitzarim u'shehirchivloi. But if he doesn't use the words v'chol matzra naha, the Ilan Matsunaha, then he would be coined in the stores. The Rashbam doesn't like that explanation and prefers the first explanation that if he says both, then he does sell the stores, and if he doesn't say both, then he doesn't. Okay. Again, as we've said throughout this perek, Hakol Kaminig Amadina, all of these dinim are going to depend on what's done locally. Nowadays, I suppose if you were to sell a building anyway, you would specify exactly what's included and what's not included. So obviously then these dinim wouldn't be applicable anyhow because you would specify what's included and what's not. But if for whatever reason you didn't, then and if you have, there's no particular local minhag of what's included when you're selling a building or whatever, then you would follow the dinim over here. Mishnah says, "Hamulcher sa'ir, a person sells a city." Nowadays you buy a whole city, but you think of, for example, the Poritzim in olden times, in Poland, for example, often owned. You have in all the stories where they owned entire villages, cities. Even earlier than that, for example, you have a Medrash that tells where one time Reb Taufan, who was very rich. Said Reb Akiva says to Reb Taufan, who was very rich. What happened was Reb Akiva had noticed that Reb Taufan, even though of course he's giving tzedakah, he's not giving as much as Reb Akiva felt that Reb Taufan should, given his wealth. So he doesn't want to go out and tell him openly because after all, Reb Taufan was his Rebbe. So he offers him one day, how about give me some of your money to invest and I'll go buy a city for you. And Reb Taufan accepts the proposal. Reb Akiva takes the money and distributes it to tzedakah among poor Talmid Chachamim and other people who need. And then later on, when Reb Taufan asks him, so where's the city? Then Reb Akiva shows him the Pasuk in Tehillim, that talks about the greatness of somebody who gives tzedakah and upholds Torah. And Reb Taufan was actually very happy with that Reb Akiva had invested his money so wisely and done it in a way not to openly confront him and say, you're not doing the way you're supposed to, and he gave even more money to distribute for tzedakah in the future. Anyway, the point is that you have, in the times of the Gemara, and in even closer to our times, in pre-modern times, it was very common that you have an individual person who owns a whole city. So here you're talking about you're selling that city to somebody else. So, without specifying, macha batim, then automatically with the city, he's selling the houses, because the houses are, the houses make up the city. The Rashbam adds, all the more so the chatzeres make up the city. You don't even have to mention those because the main thing of a city is the airspace of the city, but it means even the houses. Boris Shichanum Aris, you're selling all of the water holes or the various kinds of water pits that are located in the city. Now, earlier in the Perek, we said that when you sell a house that has a burr in it, then the burr is not included. One difference is that a house, first of all, a house is used in a much different way than a burr. So therefore they're considered two separate entities, but also there was a point, the Rimigash makes a point that houses don't usually contain burris, so therefore it's an unusual thing, and therefore it's not necessarily included. On the other hand, a chotzer, for example, we said more commonly includes a burr and all the more so a city, so therefore they're automatically included in the sale. Merchatzois, you also include the bathhouses, because again, in a chotzer may or may not have a bathhouse. It's not like every chotzer has one. But a city of any decent size is going to have a bathhouse, and therefore it's part of the basic description of a city. So those are included. The shovchos and the birdhouses in the city, people would set up, as we've learned here and there in Shas, we learned from Baba Kama about it, for example, it came up earlier in Armasafta as well, where you have birdhouses that are meant for, wild doves or feral doves, ones that are sort of tame, but not completely, or that reverted to being wild or whatever. They fly around from place to place, and they use these birdhouses as temporary places to nest and whatever. So those are included in the sale as well. Beis HaBadin or Beis HaShulchan, the sale also includes any olive presses that are in the city, and any Beis HaShulchan. Now, usually Beis HaShulchan in the Mishnah, usually in Gemara terminology, Beis HaShulchan means fields that need to be irrigated. As opposed to the usual distinction is, you have Beis HaBaal, fields that are just watered naturally by rainfall, and then you have Beis HaShulchan, ones where rainfall is not enough for them, and you need to irrigate them. Here we're going to see in the Gemara that the word Beis HaShulchan in our Mishnah does not necessarily have that meaning. It has a different meaning. And one reason is why the Gemara, what's going to force the Gemara to say differently, is because why should there be a difference? Why should the Beis HaShulchan, if we mean irrigated fields, why should those be included with the sale, but the fields that are irrigated only by rainwater not? So therefore, the Gemara is going to have to understand Beis HaShulchan in a different sense. Anyway, the Mishnah continues, Avalois on the Tautlin, but the Metautlin and the city are not included. Because again, even fine, the guy is obviously selling the whole city and moving someplace else, he could still take along the Metautlin with him. Rashbam points out that means even things that are used heavily with the house, like for example, things that are even like part of the furniture, like the stoves and like the ovens and stoves and things like that, all the more so the food, like the wheat and barley, those wouldn't automatically be included in the sale of the city. If he tells him it, that I'm selling you the city and everything in it, then it's different. Then even if there are animals or slaves in the city, and those are for sure metaltlin, and obviously he could use them someplace else, but now that he said the words, then even those, then all of those are sold together with the city as well. And that would include all the other kinds of metalplin as well. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Mocher es Ha'ir, Mocher es Ha'Santer. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, when you sell the city, then with it, automatically, you've sold the santer, and we're going to see in the Gemara a long discussion of what the santer is. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. When we say in the Mishnah that if you said, I'm selling you the city and everything in it, then even Avodim, if you said it, I'm selling the city and you didn't specify everything in it, then the Metaltlin, including the Avodim, are not sold. Only if you said, then the Avodim are sold. So, the Gemara says, shouldn't we be able to prove from this Mishnah, Avodim Metaltla Domi, that slaves, Avodim Knanim, are considered like Metaltlin. Now, the point is, later in our Masechta, when we deal with certain dinim of Yerusha and things like that, the question becomes whether Avodim are considered like Karka. Now, as far as dinim, there are a number of dinim where Avodim definitely are considered like Karka. For example, we learned back in Kiddushin that just like Karka is acquired with Kesef or Shtar or Chazaka, unlike Metaltlin that are acquired with Hagbah or Meshicha or what have you, the same way Avodim, Pnanim, are acquired with Kesef Shtar of Hazaka. And there's a number of other areas in Halacha, in Bav Metzia, we learned, for example, that the same way as the Dinim of Aynah don't apply to land, the same way they don't apply to Avodim, there's a variety of Dinim throughout Shas that depend on that point. The Torah makes a Hekish in Parshas Bahar between Avodim and Karka. It uses the expression about Avodim, you're going to bequeath them to your children as a land holding. So we learn from that Avodim are considered like land for various purposes in Halacha. But the question is, in Loshen Bnei Adam, that Rashbam explains, when it comes to in common parlance, in common talk that people use, are also Avodim considered part of Metal, are they also considered part of Karka, or are they considered Metalplin? So the Gemara discusses that point later on in the Masechta, and it does not bring in our Mishnah. Now, why not, says Rav Amba. On the face of it, from our Mishnah, we should be able to prove that they're not considered like Karka. The Ikan the Karka Dummy, if they were considered like Karka, Nizdab and Agav Masa, then they should be sold automatically together with the city. When you're selling the city, you're automatically selling all the land in the city. Well, if Avodim are considered like land in common usage, equivalent to the usage in the Torah, then they would be sold together with it. So therefore, so we should be able to prove that no, on the contrary, they're considered like Metalpil, and that's why they're not included, unless he says, Hivu Chomash HaBasecha. And yet, the sugya later on, and Daf Kuf Nun, does not even bring in our Mishnah. Why not? So the Gemara answers back, the Alamai, Avdik Metalpilei Domi. Well, so what are you going to answer? Avodim are considered fully like Metalpilein. My Afilu. Well, then you have to ask, if that's the case, then why would the Mishnah use the word Afilu on them? In other words, that you would say, when the Mishnah says that if you say Hivu Chomash HaBasecha, then even Behema V'Avodim, implying, in other words, even Avodim, who are not otherwise considered Metalpilin, are considered Metalpilin. So no, on the contrary, then, seems that not. Avodim are not Metalpilin, otherwise there'd be no reason for the word Afil. Tosfos points out that, the fact is, you'd still have the behemoths. The behemoths are definitely not considered like Karka, and even if you found a way to end for the slaves, you would still have to explain why it says Afilu in connection with the animals. Evidently, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, there's a difference between different kinds of metalpilin, ones that move on their own, well, then the same thing as far as Karka. So the answer is, within Metalpilin themselves, you have to distinguish between ones that move on their own, ones that are alive, behemoths and slaves, where not only are they Metalpil, but they move on their own. And for certain purposes in Halacha, we say they have a different din than other kinds of Metalpilin. And the chiddush is that even so, even though they move on their own and they could easily walk out of the city themselves, nevertheless they're still included when he says Hivu Chomash HaBasecha. Well then, fine. Afilu tema avdekim karka dami. Then you could say yes, avodim are considered like karka, even in common speech. Nevertheless, you could still say shayim and karka denayid, lemakarka denayid. Nevertheless, you could still distinguish between Karka that moves on its own, in other words, an Eved who is considered part of Karka for purposes of Halacha, but nevertheless, the fact is, unlike Karka, he moves, Karka Dvainayid versus Karka that not. So in other words, we would say like this, the Mishnah is telling us, when you sell a city, yes, you're including all the land, but an Avodim ought to be included as well, but the difference is that Avodim move on their own, and therefore they're not included. But when you say Hiva Chomash HaBasecha, not only are you selling all the land, and not only are you selling the metalpilin that don't move by themselves, like the furniture, you're even selling the metalpilin, you're even selling the things that move on their own, whether you consider them karka or whether you consider them metalpilin, such as animals, which definitely would be considered metalpilin, or a slave, which might be one or the other, they're all sold because you said Hiva Chomash HaBasecha. So the bottom line is you can't really prove one way or the other from this Mishnah whether Avodim are considered in the category of Karka or not, and therefore that would be why that sugya later on in the ninth parak of our Masechta that does not bother mentioning our Mishnah. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel and HaMocha Seir Mocha is a santer. So we said that then if he sells the city, then he's automatically with it sold the santer. So, So we have so my sander. So what is the definition of sander? Now, there's no question, Tosfos points out on Omid Beis, there's no question that a santer sometimes means a certain type of official. Tosfos refers to, for example, a medrash that mentions, for example, a woman who married a santer. So obviously a santer is some kind of official, but here the Gemara is going to give a couple of other possibilities. So hocha tagimu bar machad misa. So here in Bavel, they explain that the santer is the bar machnisa. Now, within that, there are a few different explanations among Rishonim. The Rashbam says it means like this. You have somebody in the city, he's a slave of the mayor of the city, and his job is, he remembers where the boundaries of everybody's fields are. They didn't have, in those days, like you have nowadays, a central real estate office where everybody's deeds are located. Everybody had their own deeds, and even you have in the previous perek, the whole discussion of chazaka revolves around the point that people don't keep their deeds forever. So you didn't have any central registry where you could look up this area belongs to this person, that belongs to that person. Rather, you'd have the mayor would have an eved whose job it is to remember those details and be able to point it out. Somebody wants to know, who does this land belong to? This land looks good. I'm interested in buying it. You would go over to this Bar Machvenisa, and he would tell you who owns that land, and then you take things from there. That's according to the Rashbam. There's a couple of other explanations among Rishonim what the Bar Machvenisa is. Rabbi Gershom over here says that it means somebody who, related to that, but not exactly. He says it's the person who has the city records and keeps track of who paid what amount of taxes. So he also knows, like the Rashbam says, where the boundaries of the field zone, things like that, but primarily his job is to look after who paid their various real estate taxes and how much. And the Foshim say, based on that, the idea is, as Mo is going to go on to say, another definition of santer is a certain type of field. So then he's called that because he works with those fields. So therefore he himself comes to be called the santer, after those fields. And then you have the Rashbam quotes also from Ibn Hanano that it means a guard of the city. The word santer would then be related to the word notar, nun tes resh, which is, you have it sometimes in Lashon Kodesh, and more often Aramaic, that means the guard. You have a Lashon Shir Hashirim, for example, samuni neteres akramim, that the girl over there in Shir Hashirim, representing the Jewish people, says they put me in charge of guarding the vineyards. You have at the end of Shir Hashirim as well, nasan atzakerem manotrim, so it's a rare shodesh in Lashon Kodesh, and it's more common in Aramaic, meaning to guard. So Rashbam brings from Rabbeinu Hanano that the santer is the city guard. So all of that is one definition. Bar Machvenisa would be that, again, either the one who knows the boundaries of the fields, the one who knows the ownership and the tax status of the fields, or the city guard. Shimon ben Avtolmus Omer Bogi. Shimon ben Avtolmus says a whole different explanation. A santer is not a person. It means the valleys full of fields that surround the city. According to him, that's the definition of santer. So the Gemara points out, Manda Omer Bar Machvenisa, well, the first opinion, the opinion from Bavel, that says that it means the Bar Machvenisa, the slave or servant who serves the city. Kolshken Bagi, he would say, all the more so the fields around the city which stay in place, then those would be sold. So not only the city itself, but all the fields around it, all the real estate around it. Where food is grown to feed the people in the city. But Manda Omer Bagi, but Shimon ben Avtolmus, who says that it means the field, he would say, I'm a Bar Machvenisa, loy mizdaben, he would say, even a point of Shimon Gamliel, the Bar Machvenisa is not sold together with the city unless specified, because after all, like we said before, he's an Eved, and he moves around, even if we consider an Eved like Karka, he still moves around, unlike the Karka, and therefore not necessarily would he be sold. So the Gemara says, Tanan, well, let's look at our Mishnah and see which opinion it fits with better. The Mishnah had said, Beis HaBadim and Beis HaSholfin, that along with the city, automatically the all of...
Sorry for mentioning. I personally would say that since it plays such an important role, If he sold to someone else without this person, people are going to be lost. It's a very important part of the land.
That may be, but, you know, on the other hand, that may be. But, you know, the key to a house is also a very important thing. And we learned previously that if you sell a house without specifying, then the key is not automatically included, right?
But it depends which key it was. Which
right,
door
well, that's
was.
The thing. So Shimon ben Avtomus is going to say, yes, it's a very important thing for the city. Without him, you don't have the city records. Nonetheless, though, then better you should specify him. If not, then you may have sold the appointed. Keep in mind, all this is only appointed of Shimon Gamliel. Anyway, according to the Chachamim, there's nothing even to talk about. They didn't mention that the Santa is sold in the first place. Bechal, by the way, there's quite a discussion among the Rishonim whether the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel or not. The Gemara elsewhere mentions the halacha is usually like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Nevertheless, over here the Rishonim and the later poskim don't paskin like him, and the Rosh in fact wonders why. But in any case, according to the Chachamim, then for sure the Santa is not sold, whether we define the Santa as the outlying fields or whether we define it as the slave. We're talking within Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion, and Shimon ben Avtomus is saying even Reb Shimon Gamliel is not going to say the santer, as in the slave, is sold unless otherwise specified. Yes, he's important, but fine, so are the fields important, and then according to the Chachamim, they're not included unless specified.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, now, well, let's look at our Mishnah and see which opinion it fits with better. The Mishnah had said, Beis HaBadim, Beis HaSholchin, you sell the city, then automatically the olive presses and the Beis HaSholchin are included. Now, Savaruha, the Bnei HaYeshiva thought to think, my Sholchin, what do we mean by Beis HaSholchin over here? We don't mean the usual definition throughout Shas of irrigated fields, because again, there's no reason, Tosfos points out, there's no reason to distinguish between irrigated fields and ones that are naturally watered by rainfall. So therefore, we have to understand it differently. So the Chachamim thought to say, my shochen bogim, that the word shochen means the fields. And why would fields be called shochen, whether they're watered by rainwater or not? Even when it comes to rain, you have an expression in the pasuk that speaks of Hashem sending out water to the outlying areas. So we see that rain is also used, the word shalach, is also used in connection with rain, so therefore Beis HaShochen would mean any fields that require rain, whether they also require irrigation or not. Well, Bishleim Lamanda Omar Bar Machlanisa, well then according to the definition in Bavel that the Santer is the Bar Machlanisa, fine, so we understand what's going on in Mishnah. Omer Tanakama Bagim is Daphne, the Tanakama says that the valleys, the fields are sold because they stay in place, Bar Machmanissa loy mizdaben, but the Bar Machmanissa, as important as he is to the functioning of the city, nevertheless, he's not automatically sold because he's an Eved and he moves around. The Osir of Shimon Gamliel lemeimar, afil Bar Machmanissa nami mizdaben, and of Shimon Gamliel comes and adds that also the Bar Machmanissa is sold. So according to that opinion, the Mishnah reads very straightforward. But according to Shimon ben Avtomus, who says that Reb Shimon Gamliel's santer means the fields, well then, Tanakama Nami Hachukama, isn't the Tanakama also saying that the fields are included? If we understand Beis HaShochin to mean the fields, then both, and you say that santer also means the fields, then the Tanakama and Reb Shimon Gamliel are saying exactly the same thing. So how is Shimon ben Avtomus going to understand our Mishnah? And the answer is, mi savret, my shochin bagi. You're thinking that shochin in our Mishnah means the fields. It doesn't. Loi. No, Shimon ben Avtomus would say, my shochin ginun yosa. The word shochin means the gardens that are near the city. So they're called shochin, not because they have to be irrigated, but because they produce branches and fruit. The chenema, as you have a pasuk in Shashinim, shlochayach ardes rimonim, your gardens are an orchard of pomegranates. This is Hashem praising the Jewish people in the Moshul over there, the man praising the woman for her beauty and her grace and everything else, and that's Hashem praising us Jewish people for our qualities, and he mentions over there the point that your shlochayit, your gardens are like an orchard of pomegranates. So we see that the word shlochayit can refer to gardens and orchard and orchards, and the reason is Tosfos says because you find the word shalach in connection with a tree growing branches, you find psukim that use the Shoda Sholach for that. Well, then, in that case, so now we understand the Machlokas. So Abel Bagi Loi Mizdavim. So the Tanakhama would say that the gardens are sold because the gardens, it's not just that you grow fruit over there, you also, the gardens are places where you stroll around it and you enjoy yourself. So therefore, it's like the house in that sense. It's a place for you to relax in. So those would be included according to the Tanakhama. Abel Bagi Loi Mizdavim, but not the fields surrounding the city, which those are not meant for relaxation or anything like that. Those are just meant to work agriculturally. But also, Rav Shimon Gamliel Lameimer, Afilu Bagi Namim Mizdavim, and then Rav Shimon Gamliel would say that even the fields are sold as well. So according to Shimon Ben Thomas, we can also understand the Machlokas, provided that we understand Shulchan doesn't mean fields, but rather gardens. Okay. So all of that is one version of the discussion in the Gemara. Ikadamri. Now there are those who started with the opposite way of looking at it. The my shochin ginun yosa. Another version, sabrua my shochin ginun yosa. Another way of understanding of how the discussion went is that the Bnei HaYeshiva began with the assumption that shochin means ginun yosa, means the gardens, and then they asked the shleim lamanda amabagi. I can understand, according to the opinion, that Santer means the fields, which is Shimon ben Avtolmos' opinion. So then we understand the flow of the Mishnah. Omer Tanakama Ginun Yosa. The Tanakama is saying that the gardens are sold. That Ginun Yosa Mizdaben. So Bishleim Lamanda Omer Bagi. So it works out well according to the opinion that it means the fields. Omer Tanakama Ginun Yosa means the Tanakama had said that the gardens are sold. Mizdaben Bagi Loi Mizdabni, but the fields are not. But also, Shimon Gamliel Lameima after the Bagi, and then Shimon Gamliel says that you sold the Santer, which according to Shimon Ben Avtolmos means the fields. So then we understand the flow of the Mishnah. But if you start with the assumption that Shochen means the gardens, and now all of a sudden you're going to say, that Santer means the Bar Machvanissa, the slave who serves the city in whatever capacity, then how does the flow of the Mishnah go? Omer Tanakama Ginun Yosa Umahadalet of Shem Gamliel Bar Machvanissa. The Tanakama is saying that the gardens are sold, implying but not the fields, and Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that the Santer is sold. What does one have to do with the other? In that case, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, if you sell the city, you sold the fields and the Santer. So, in other words, the implication of the fact that Rav Shimon Gamliel just says the Santer implies he knew that the other Chachamim were saying the Santer is not sold. So he's saying, no, I'm telling you the Santer is sold. And what would the Santer have to be if it meant the Bar Machmanissa? If all the Tanakhama was saying was the gardens are sold, the fields are not, then Rav Shimon Gamliel should be addressing that point as well. That would seem to imply that the Tanakhama is saying the Santer means the slave, and Rav Shimon Gamliel therefore is saying that yes, he is sold. But in other words, that the Tanakhama would say that the fields are already sold with the city. So then, according to the opinion that Santer means the Bar Machmanissa, how is our mission going to work? And the answer is, you're going the wrong way about it. Me savet my shochen ginun yosa. You're starting with the assumption that shochen means the gardens, based on what we just said, because they produce branches, and the word sholach can be used for that. But no, my shochen, bogi, no, as a matter of fact, the shochen means the fields, d'chtib shaleach mayim apnei chutzos, because after all, the pasuk uses the word sholach in connection with rain that falls on them. So then, according to that opinion, we would say the fields are sold. The Bamach Benissa is not. But also, Rav Shimon Gamliel the Meimer, and then Rav Shimon Gamliel comes and says, "Afilu Bamach Benissa Mizdaben," that even the Bamach Benissa is sold. So, in other words, according to both the explanation in Vavo and the explanation of Shimon Ben Avtolmos, either way, you can make the Mishnah flow smooth. If you say that the definition of Santer is the fields, then the Tanakhama would say that they're not sold, and Rav Shimon Gamliel would say, if we say that Santer means the fields, then the Tanakhama would be saying that the Beis HaShochen, meaning, we would say then that the So according to the explanation in Bavo, the flow of the Mishnah would be that the Tanakhama had said the fields are sold, only the Bar Machmanisa is not, and the word Sholchin in the Mishnah, therefore, can refer to, refers to fields, so he would say they are included, but the city watchman or the city record keeper or whatever is not, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says he is. Then, according to Shimon of Tumos, rather, who says that the fields aren't automatically sold, and Santa means the fields, he would say that Beis HaShochin, earlier in the Mishnah, means the gardens, so he would say those are sold, the fields are not, and then Shimon Gamliel was saying the fields as well are sold. But according to him, according to Shimon of Tumos, both of them would agree that the Bar Machmanisa is not sold together with the city. So the Mishnah can flow well according to either of them. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring a proof from a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Amos, Santa Einem Mocher, and Kumus Mocher. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Santa is not sold, like the Tanakama, but he says the Ankumus is sold. The Ankumus is the city clerk, the one who writes down. So before we said that Rabbeinu Gershom understood the Santer to be the one who knows how much everybody has paid in taxes and so forth. Here, Rashbam explains that's actually the definition of Ankumus. The word Ankumus, the Yad Ramah explains, Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains, is related to the word Kumus, which means a pen, because he uses his pen to write down the city records, how many fields are there, how many houses are there, how many people are there, so that everybody pays their appropriate amounts of taxes. So that official is called the Ankumus. So he's like the city clerk. So if Yehuda says the Santer is not sold, but the Ankumus is. The Rashbam, by the way, points out that this Braisa comes from Tesefta, and there are actually different Gersois over here. Later on, the Gemara is going to flip around the opinions, and in fact, you look in Tesefta, you'll find the opinions flipped around, because based on what the Gemara is saying over here. But then the Rashbam says, then there's a different Gersa that to begin with over here says that neither one is sold, and then later on that would change the Gersa later in the Gemara. Tosfos also discusses and analyzes that Gersa. Anyway. The point is, the Gersa we have in front of us, as Rabbi Yehuda is saying, the Santa is not sold, but the Ankumus is sold together with the city. Well, my lab mid the Ankumus Gabra, Santa Nami Gabra. Well, wouldn't it be logical to say that since the Ankumus is unquestionably a person, then therefore the Santa is also a person, because that would explain why the Braisa puts them together. Well, then that would support the opinion of the people of the Chachamim in Bavo that the Santer is the one who knows all the boundaries of the fields or the tax situation or the guard, whatever, rather than Shimon ben Avtolmos' explanation that it means the fields surrounding the city. And again, Tosfos points out there's no question that the word Santer can mean a certain kind of person. The question is whether also it can mean fields or not. Anyway, the Gemara says, Midiriya, what kind of a question is that? Hakidisa. Each one could be its own thing. So what? So the Santa would mean the fields. Fine. The Braisa can still put them together. The fact is that the fields and the Ankumus are still necessary for the ongoing functioning of the city. So the Braisa puts them together for that reason, not necessarily to imply that both of them are people. So the Gemara says, Mimotis Amritachi. Fine, but could you possibly say like that, that Santer means, in this Braisa, means the fields. Hakatani Sefer, the Braisa continues, Avalosh Yoreha, that when you sold the city, you have not automatically sold Shiyoreha. Shiyoreha literally means it's leftovers. We'll explain later on in the Gemara what Shiyoreha means. Anyway, so those are not automatically sold with the city. The word B'nai Seha, and also not its outlying villages. The word B'nai Seha you find in many places in Chumash and the rest of Tanakh. You'll have a big city and then you'll have the villages around it that are called B'nai Seha, which literally means daughters, because they depend on the big city like the way daughters depend on their parents. So those would be villages where the farmers, for example, live, and they supply food to the city, and in return, the people in the city supply them with things that they need, things that are manufactured, and they teach them Torah, and they lain for them, and so on and so forth. Anyway, so those are not included in the sale automatically. V'loy choshim hamuktima, also not the choshim that are set aside for it. Choshim, that Rashbam explains, is means forests. You find the word chodesh in a pasuk in Yechezkel, for example, where and then it's used again often more often in Targum, and it means a forest. So also you haven't automatically sold the forest that are near the city and that are muktim for it, meaning they're near the city, they're open to the city, and they're set aside for the use of the people in the city. In other words, they're not stam hefker forests. These are forests where the people in the city are able to go regularly and cut firewood or graze their animals or whatever it is. But those are not automatically included in the sale. V'loy bivrin shal chayav shal oifus v'shal dogim, and also automatically with the sale of the city is not included enclosures for wild animals or birds or fish, various kinds of enclosures. In the case of wild animals, it would be surrounded by walls. In the case of birds, also. In the case of fish, we're talking about fish ponds. So all of those things have a chashivus of their own, and they're not automatically sold together with the city. So now the Bnei HaYeshiva explained when he said that the Shiareha are not sold. My Shiareha, Bizli. What does the Shiareha mean? Means what's called in Aramaic Bizli, or my Bizli. So what is Bizli in turn? Later on, I guess that term stopped being used and the Chachamim weren't familiar with it. Amar Abba Piski Bavli. So the Abba says, means sections of the valleys, sections of the fields that are separated from the other ones by rocks. So in other words, you have they're all fields that are used to provide food for the city, but they're separated. You can't plow them, you can't work them together with the rest of the fields because there's hard ground, there's rocky ground interrupting between them and the other fields. So therefore, we're saying that those the ones that are right next to the city, those are sold with it on the face of it. But the pisky buggy, the ones that are further away. The one not so much further away, but the ones that are separated by non-agricultural land in between, then therefore those are not included. Rabbi Gershom actually gives a different explanation. He says piski bogi would mean small fields and regular bogi means larger. Anyway, but according to the Rashbam, the point is that we're distinguishing between whether they're directly adjacent to the city or whether not, or whether you have this hard ground, this hard rocky ground in between. Well, The implication is piski bogi hu delo mizdavni. Only those piski bogi are not sold because they're separated by hard ground. You can't work them. You can't do agricultural work in them the same together with the other ones. Ha bogi atzman mizdavni. It seems that the fields themselves are sold. So then, in that case, then the question is that So here we have Shimon ben Avtumus in our Gemara, Issan Omer Aleph, was saying that that Santer means the pis, means the vet, means the field, and according to him, according to the Tanakhama, they're not automatically sold, and we presumably Rabbi Yehuda is part of the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and yet over here we're saying that the fields themselves are sold, and only the Piski Bogi are not sold. So the Gemara says, April. You have to flip around the two opinions in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Santa Mocho, and Pumus Eine Mocho. Rabbi Yehuda would say, well, not just that we're concerned about that Rabbi Yehuda necessarily has to be among the Chachamim, but also because the beginning of the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda had clearly said that the Santa, that the Santa is not sold, meaning that he holds the Chachamim. So how over here would he all of a sudden be saying that the fields are sold and just the piski bogi are not? So the answer is Apoch. You have to flip it around. Rabbi Yehuda and Santa Mocher, the Ankomus ain't Mocher. Rabbi Yehuda would say the Santa is sold, the Ankomus is not. Okay, so the Santa then could be the fields, like Shimon ben Avtumus says, and there you go. He's being consistent and saying that within the fields themselves, only the ones that are right next to the city, but not the Shiareha, not the ones that are further away because they're separated by rocks. The problem with that is, how could you possibly say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah? We see that Rabbi Yehuda holds like the Chachamim, the Katani Seika, because the end of that Braisa continues, as we said, that with the city you have not sold the Shireha or Bnei Seha or the outlying villages. The Ilav Shem Gamliel Ha'amar Machar Seir Machar Bnei Seha. Reb Shem Gamliel says that no, when you sell a city, you do sell Bnei Seha. You do sell the suburbs, the surrounding villages. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, Amorcher Seir Lo Machar Bnei Seha. Reb Shem Gamliel Lo Imah Amorcher Seir Machar Bnei Seha. So Reb Shem Gamliel holds like this. He holds that the Santer is sold, as it said in our Mishnah. He also holds that Bnei Seha are sold. Santer, we're in the middle of discussing whether it means the fields or whether it means the city, whether it means the city record keeper. But in any case, Rav Yehuda, who says in the Braisa that Bnei Seha are not sold, clearly doesn't agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel. So how could we say that when he said that, how could we flip around the Braisa and say that he says that the santer is sold, and say then that the santer means the fields that are near the city, but not the ones that are further away, then it's going to come out that he does he hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, or does he not? So the Gemara says, fine, that could be Rav Yehuda Sava like Tavasei Bechada or Polagalei Bechada. You could say he agrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel on one thing, and he disagrees with him on something else. He would agree with him as far as the santer, but that's sold. But he would disagree as far as Bnei Seha. Reb Shimon Gamliel says those are also sold. Reb Yehuda would say that those are not sold. So we could make it work out that way, provided that we flip around and say that Reb Yehuda had said that the Santer is sold, and that would still work according to the understanding of Shimon ben Aftulmos, that Santer means the fields. So again, the Rashbaman pointed out, and Tosfos discusses, that there is a different, Girsa, that to begin with, the Gemara had said, that to begin with, when the Gemara had brought the Braisa, had said that neither one of them is sold. And then in that case, then the Gemara doesn't have to say Epoch over here, it just says that Rabbi Yehuda, we're not flipping things around, we're just saying, unlike the original version that we brought, that neither the Santer nor the Ankumus is sold, now we're going to say the Santer is sold and the Ankumus is not. So first, the flow of the Gemara would be, first we thought, again, they're both people, since they're being placed together. The Gemara had said that no, it doesn't mean anything. Instead of the umi motis amrit hafi, instead the girsa was hafi namim istabra, that santer is field, not a person, because we see that only the fields that are separated by rocks are not sold, implying that the fields closer in are. So that would be the other girsa that the Rashbam brings in the Gemara. And again, Tosfos discusses that a bit, and then brings that Tosfos brings that the Rabbeinu Hananel's Girsa and the Girsa as we find it in Tosefta is that to begin with, Rabbi Yehuda had said the Santer is sold and the Ankomus is not sold, the opposite of the way we have it in our Gemara. And again, that would mean we don't have to do April. We don't have to flip anything around, but we discuss, in other words, what Rabbi Yehuda holds exactly. Does he in fact hold like Shimon ben Aftulmos' understanding, or does he have a different understanding? And when we're saying in the end, he agrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel that when he says Santer Macher, he does agree that it means that the field near the city are sold, but he would say the Ankomos, which is a city clerk, is not sold, and that would fit with Shimon ben Aftulmos' understanding of Rav Shimon Gamliel that the Santer is a city official of some kind, and because he's an Eved, he's not automatically sold with the city. Okay. The Gemara finishes off. We said in the Braisa, the Loy Bi, and then again, within that, we have Machlokas Rishonim, whether the Halacha is Bechlal, like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Rif says that not. The Rif passes like the Chachamim. The Rosh wonders why not, given that the rule is usually the Halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Shach actually points out that you have a rule like this, when you have sometime, we'll have all over in the Gemara, then an Amora will say, this Tana, and this Tana, and this Tana, and this Tana all hold a certain way. That's called a Shita, and we say usually, Ein Halacha Keshita, the Halacha is not like that string of Chachamim. Well, later on, in the next Perek, we're going to have something like that, where the Gemara is going to mention that where Abaye is going to give a list of Chachamim who hold this concept that when you sell something, you sell all the Tashmishim with it, and Reb Shimon Gamliel is on that list. That itself implies the halacha is not like Reb Shimon Gamliel, so therefore, so that's reason enough to say that the halacha is not like it. Okay. Now, we said in the Braisa, V'loi Bivrin Shal Chayim, Shal Oifis, Shal Dogin, we said when you sell a city, you haven't automatically included the enclosures that are used just to keep wild animals or birds or fish. So the Gemara says, you have a contradiction though. A Braisa says, Hoyla Bonis, if the city has outlying villages, suburbs, Einim Karasima, then they're not sold with it, like the Chachamim had said, not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. On the other hand, on the other hand, if the city has a certain area in the sea, so the city or in the sea or the lake or whatever, so in other words, so the city is located next to the sea, for example, and you have a certain amount of the sea, like a beach over there, and then you have an area extending out into the sea that also legally belongs to that city, and it's called like part of the city. The Chelek Echad B'Yabosha would also be similarly that they have, there's an area on land which is outside the city, but it's still called by the name of the city. Actually, Chelek Echad B'Yam would be not so much the sea itself, but rather, let's say you have an island right off the coast, which is also called by the name of the city. So like you have nowadays, for example, say, you know, Miami and other places, you have islands that are located in the bay over there, and they're still thought of as part of the city. So those would be included. Chelek Echad B'Yabosha would be the same thing. It's on the mainland, and you have an area outside the city, but it's still called by the name of the city. So those are different. Those are not the same. Those are not the same as Bnei Seha. Another example is if you have bivrim shal chayav shal ofis shal dogim, or if you have enclosures for wild animals or birds or fish, then they are sold with it. So here we had before the Braisa saying that the bivrim are not sold, and that was according to the Chachamim, and here we're saying the bivrim are sold with it. So what is it? So the answer is, Vaikasha, hodin negiach ke'ihi l'goy, it depends whether the opening of the bivrim is facing towards the city. Negiach means the ability to go in there. The Rivan translates it, it comes from the word yogiach, which means like to rush forward. When you rush forward into that bivrim to trap an animal or whatever, you go in through the entrance. So therefore the entrance is called negiach. Ke'ihi means that it stands, like koi in Gemara Lashon. So when that faces legoi, legav, meaning inside, facing towards the city, then they're included in the sale. V'honegiach ke'ihi labar, as opposed to if the opening to this bivrim faces in a different direction from the city, then it's not included in the sale. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'hokatani ve'alayas choshen amukzim la. What do you mean though? We said that the Braisa had said you haven't included the forests that are mukzim for it, which for Pashtus, what we mean is that those forests, they have a fence around them, and the opening in the fence opens towards the city, and therefore people go directly from the fence, directly from the city into the forest. So why should it be that with the forest, even though the entrance to the forest directly faces the city, it's not sold? And with the bivrim, we're saying if the opening of it faces the city, then it is sold. What's the difference? And the answer is ela ema hamuktzin mimen. The answer is no. The Braisa didn't mean hamuktzin la, which are reserved for it, but rather hamuktzin mimena, that are separated from it, in the sense that the opening of the forest is not directly towards the city, but rather in a different direction. So therefore, so we're being consistent. When you have something outside the city, you have a resource like that, a forest or a bivrin, where the opening of it faces towards the city, then it's sold with the city. But if it faces in a different direction, then it is not.